Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off Shady Rays using promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. Welcome, everybody, to the Golf Gambling Podcast. You are seeing just me tonight, Steve Shermer. Boston Capper, the last I heard from him, apparently he was drinking all day today, probably because of how horrible Rory was. Maybe he was working up, you know, maybe using some alcohol to fuel some sort of 5-minute rant about how big of a bum he was and just, you know, share that to the world. But you're going to have to wait for that probably tomorrow. He's taking the night off. So it's just me tonight. I'll probably give a Rory rant in a little bit. But so I'm going to go over a little bit of a quick recap of the Wells Fargo. I didn't get a chance to watch much this weekend, to be perfectly honest. I had a lot of yard work to do. I had to build a bed for the baby. A lot of real life stuff got in the way of actually watching golf, but I was following from afar. And I unfortunately needed Xander to have the win this week in order to prevent my worst week of the year. Actually, my worst week probably since Sanderson. Not great. Usually, if I don't hit an outright, I need positionals to save me. It did not happen. I only hit Taylor Moore top 40, Cage Lee top 40, Griot top 40, and Ricky was my only top 20 to hit. Everybody else was kind of sunk. And I think that's probably how I'm going to lead off this top of the show. I mean, you know, congratulations to Wyndham Clark. Listen, Oklahoma State guy, we talk about Carson Creek, Tom Fazio, who's right there. Is what it is. He played great. I watched a lot. As I was building the bed, I had the golf on the laptop, and Wyndham Clark was just awesome. He was going toe-to-toe with Xander. And as someone with a Xander ticket, it's pretty disappointing seeing that he only shot one under today. I saw early that he tied it up with Clark after Clark bogeyed the opening hole. Unfortunately, Xander's putter really let him down. He gained 2.9 strokes to the green today, lost 1.4. It is what it is. I mean, that's somebody who I have questioned if he has, you know, what his killer instinct is, you know, especially in crunch time. Unfortunately, that didn't really show up today. It's probably a reason why I'm probably not going to bet him for Oak Hill. I understand everything looks great with him, the ball striking, and, you know, he's long off the tee. His long irons look really good. To me, a lot of things I'll be looking for Oak Hill, but I just don't know if I can get there for an outright. And plus, I've already bet two guys, and there's another guy I'm eyeing up to for winning the PGA. So stay tuned for that. But, you know, otherwise, though, I mean, it was good to see Hatton do very well. We're going to see him in the field of Byron Nelson this week. If we're all wrong that this thing is not going to be a bomber fest, it's going to be mostly just, all right, really solid ball strikers, accuracy, all that stuff. I mean, you know, Hatton could be a good choice for that, but, you know, we'll see about that. Sungjae was hanging around the top five all week, had kind of a terrible Sunday here. It is what it is. He didn't really hit his irons all that great this week. We'll see where he goes from there. I guess what I really want to talk about, probably I'm putting words in my mouth with my co-host, is Rory. And maybe I shouldn't have called Rory top 10 lock of the week. That was a horrible call. It looked good on Thursday. He was 3 under. And then it just, the wheels fell off on Friday. Nothing was really working for him. And just looking at his stats overall, it's just, it's really lifeless from him. Lost strokes off the tee, lost strokes with the irons, lost strokes putting. The only thing that was good is around the green. I'm trying to keep in the right state of mind with him in that maybe everyone's going to be out on him and his odds are going to drift and somehow he lands at like 14 to 1 or 16 to 1. And then at that point, I can probably squeeze him in my card. I still think he's a good fit for Oak Hill based on how it's going to play and how the weather has been. We got drenched again today. The weather forecast looks a little more favorable in a couple of weeks, but just with how the changes are and that type of golf course and what I think is going to value, if he's in the right state of mind, he should be good. But I think I really wanted him to just look competent, to look confident too, not competent and confident. Coming off the Masters, and we got kind of neither, and that's concerning. That seed of doubt is now in my mind with Rory. Like, it did, just playing so bad at the Masters with all the expectations, did that just screw him up? I'm trying to resist that urge, but I can't help myself from thinking that. So that was disappointing. Cam Young was disappointing, although I think just the weight of everybody picking him this week was too much. You know, I still have a bet on him for 40 to 1. Do I feel awesome about the fact that he, you know, I bet a guy to win his first ever PGA Tour event at a major? No, I don't feel great about that, but Oak Hill actually was the site of a guy who won his first event ever in Sean McKeel, a different golf course, a different time. But I'm going to be making that argument in a couple of weeks defending the Cam Young pick because I don't feel awesome about it. But if it really is turning into a driving contest, that's a guy I want to, you know, pick. And then, I mean, Morikawa, that was really concerning. What did he do this week? I mentioned to Capper that, so he got off to a really good start. He was 2 under after the front nine. And then things just fell apart. And what I've noticed about Morikawa is, especially when the putter just isn't on, he gets really frustrated. And it seems like that kind of bleeds into other parts of his game. And he kind of just checks out at that point. I saw it at Scottsdale earlier this year where he was hitting the ball fine and then just no putts were going down. He kind of just checked out of the tournament and had a pretty pitiful miscut. Same thing happened here. That's a guy I like for Oak Hill. I think even if it is going to turn into a place where, you know, longer guys have an advantage, I don't mind him, but I don't love the fact that he kind of just quit on this. I feel like he quit, to be perfectly honest. So other than that, though, I mean, listen, congratulations to Wynn McClark. We got a good performance out of Ricky, out of Xander. A couple guys who are kind of on my radar for Oak Hill doing well heading in. But now we're going to transition to the AT&T Byron Nelson, which I think I did a solo show on this a couple years ago. My opinion hasn't really changed about the place. So we'll take another break, and then we will start going to the Byron Nelson and all the betting strategies you should have for it. All right, well, like I mentioned at the top of the show here, it is Shady May, and we are partnering with Shady Rays this May. And not only are you going to get an amazing 50% off any purchase you make with Shady Rays during the month of May, but you also have a chance to win $500. And Shady Ray has you covered. You know, from the sun to the slopes, they got premium polarized shades, customized snow goggles, and much more. And Shady Rays, you know, they have really durable frames. You know, so if you ever, you know, I have a kid, and you know, with Shady Rays, she's gonna throw it everywhere. It's gonna land on the ground, the pavement, whatever. And I know that with my Shady Rays, they're just gonna stay perfectly intact, no scratches or anything at all. It's a lot of confidence I have in that product, considering my my preschooler loves to just, when she's in the throes of a tantrum, just rip the sunglasses off my face and just throw them wherever. So, and that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection of all eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. So if you lose or break a pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. So wear Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after They have your back after long after you purchase it. So if you don't love them, exchange for a new pair, return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you stop with Shady Rays, and they always have your back. So go to ShadyRays.com, use promo code SGPN for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses, and take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win $500 in the Shady May contest.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's move on from the Wells Fargo, my worst week of the year, and move on to the Byron Nelson. Hope we can do a little better. So this this golf, it's a golf course we're going to go to this week. I don't have a whole lot of positive opinion to have about TPC Craig Ranch. I know that our good podcast friend Andy Lack had Joe LaMagna on to rank all the golf courses a couple weeks ago, and I believe Joe LaMagna's worst golf course of the entire PGA Tour was TPC Craig Ranch. I don't really have a whole lot of problems with that. I personally would put another terrible TPC golf course dead last that we're going to see later on this summer. But honestly, after diving in again about what happened last year, what's happened the last 2 years, this is kind of a dud golf course. And it's a shame, too, because you know this was... And I thought a pretty good venue at Trinity Forest for a couple of years. You know, it was by Corin Crenshaw, who did Kapalua, does a lot of great work around the country. You know, and it looked different than everything we usually see in the PGA Tour. It was wide. There was no rough. It was firm, fast, undulating. Even though it was basically on a flat piece of property, they moved a lot of earth, create a lot of mounds and hills and undulations to the greens and everything. It played best as a firm and fast golf course. Now, we didn't really see that because, A, the weather would usually pour rain when the tournament came around. But, B, the PGA Tour was also really scared of, letting this thing get too out of control because, you know, typically when players get to kind of a golf course like this, then you have a whole lot of negative attitudes about it. And it was a very popular venue for fans either. There was no protection. So in like really hot temperatures, you couldn't sit under a tree at all. It was on an old dump. It was kind of out, you know, a little bit in the middle of nowhere. So they left the place. I enjoyed it when it was at Trinity Forest. They left. And then they moved it to TPC Craig Ranch. So that was built in 2006, it was built by the late Tom Weisskopf, who you know him for not only just his golf career, but for being responsible for TPC Scottsdale, one of the most popular events on the PGA Tour, one of the most popular golf courses in the PGA Tour. And, you know, I remember when we talked about TPC Scottsdale, one of my biggest critiques about TPC Scottsdale was how kind of boring and bland the first nine holes are, but the back nine is great. There's a lot of really exciting, I wouldn't say like great architecture holes, but a lot of really exciting holes, a lot of opportunities for lots of birdies or car crashes and everything like that. I guess if I could sum up TPC Craig Ranch for you all, is basically it's those first nine holes of TPC Scottsdale, and that's the entire 18 holes. There really is nothing to this place, and we'll get to some of the scoring and difficulty of it, but there's a reason why these guys have ripped this place up and why the winning score last year is 26 under and the cut line is 6 under. There just isn't much to this place. So one positive about TPC Craig Ranch, it has a creek that bisects the property. I do think they did a pretty good job weaving the golf course around the creek just for aesthetic purposes. It doesn't actually come into play for these guys. It kind of is just there. It's more for eye candy, I would say. So technically, even if the GCSAA says that water is in play, quote unquote, on like 14 of 18 holes or whatever the number is, it's in play maybe once, Best Creek. There's actually an artificial water hazard, I think, on the par 315th. That actually is the only water really in play. Otherwise, we'll talk about it. It's very vanilla. It's bland. It's wide fairways. You can hit driver everywhere. The greens are kind of flat and slow. There just isn't really a whole lot of interesting things to it. I would also say, too, that this golf course probably has one of the worst drivable par fours on the entire PGA Tour. I think it's hole number six. It's 350 yards. It's guarded by a front bunker, but just all along, like, you know, off the fairway, it's just bunker, 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 like every five, six, 7 yards, like every five, like 10 yards or so. It just looks ugly. It looks like somebody, you know, was building a drivable par four on PGA Tour 2K or something and just it went way too nuts with the bunkers. That's all it is. I mean, the only strategy, just basically hit it close to the green, bail yourself out in that front bunker, get up and down for birdie. You see a lot of that this golf course where, you know, this, you know, hit driver, hit iron. There's not really a whole lot of adversity around the green. There's no real penalty for missing a green either. So there just really is a lot to this. Unfortunately, we're kind of getting into this time of year where a lot of the golf courses playing on the PGA Tour are going to be a little weaker. My interest level usually goes down a whole lot. Maybe I need to do a better job going to betting on golf courses where I don't really love the golf course. I tend to see that there's a kind of a positive correlation between how much I like a golf course and how well I usually do gambling. So, but anyways, TPC Craig Ranch, not really a whole lot to it. Why don't we just move on to the betting strategies after we take a break? And we'll go over just some of the things I'm looking for, this week. All right, so let's talk about our new sponsor, Talkify. So, and life is full of what ifs. So, you know, what if you're trying something new when it comes to dating? Talkify is a new way to meet other singles. And what if they help you find what you're looking for? And, you know, I mean, dating nowadays, it's a lot different than what it was when I was in my early 20s. Usually we just go to a bar and you'd have to, you know, strike up a conversation with the female and, like, you know, buy them drink and everything like that. And now, like, there's so many options about with dating, but, you know, ever since COVID, I feel like happened, we all kind of became a little bit solitary and not really pretty antisocial. So it's hard to date nowadays. And, you know, with, you know, stresses of jobs and everything like that, maybe you find it, you know, you don't have enough time to actually try and find the love of your life. So Talkify is the country's number one modern matching service that is designed to help you achieve relationship success. They're trusted compatibility specialists, hand-select successful and compelling candidates so you can date consciously and productively. And here's how it works. Talkify matchmakers meet with you to learn about what you're looking for in a partner. You know, it's better than some of the other dating services where basically just kind of a, you know, like a, you know, AI, you're filling out something like that, and then they just match you off. This one actually has real-life people talking to you to get your interest to actually better match you up. Then they'll select and screen your potential match candidates with you, doing a background checks, video interviews, and asking tough questions that you might be too awkward to ask on your first dates. You know, and from there, your matchmaker plans your date introductions, handles all communications for you, creating a safe and stress-free dating experience. And Talkify is committed to finding your match. 80% of clients met their person within the first 12 matches. So right now, Talkify is offering our listeners 20% off when you become a client at talkify.com/SGPN. That's TAWKIFY.com/SGPN for 20% off when you become a client. Talkify.com/SGPN. Okay, let's move on to betting strategies. So here's some general information about TPC Craig Ranch. We'll go over agronomy, we'll go over the holes, and then we'll go over each relative skill set, talk about what's challenging. Spoiler alert, there's not much challenging. We'll go from there. So TPC Craig Ranch, par 71, plays a little over 7,400 yards. There is a slight change to the scoring of the holes of this layout from the last two tournaments. And maybe because people have the PGA in a couple weeks. It's a very weak field that, you know, Scottie Scheffler highlights it. You got Spieth, you got Hideki, you got Haddon, otherwise really bad field. Last year's field was actually pretty good. This one's not very good at all. So maybe people are going to miss this little change. So typically this has four par fives. In 2023, they're actually taking the 12th hole, which was, I think, like 533. It was very easy hole. They're actually converting it into a long par four. It's going to play 493 yards. So while this hole artificially make it tougher, because last year, I think the scoring average was about 4.4. Now the scoring average is probably going to be about 4.4. So one of the hardest holes on the golf course from an overall scoring strategy point. There's no change. Basically, it's get to the green and two, get a four, and move on. Otherwise, though, same as last year. The only other thing I noticed with the GCSAA is in terms of agronomy, which it's bentgrass greens, it is Zoysia fairways, and it is Bermuda rough, that the weather forecast or the weather conditions so far this year has been wet. It's been cool in Dallas. I can ask my producer a little bit more about this. Because he lives in Dallas, but apparently they've had a tough time growing in a lot of the grass, and the Bermuda has had a little bit of trouble emerging from dormancy. So the rough might not be all that thick this year, and it's definitely not as dense. They also had to patch a lot of areas around the green. I remember at the stadium course on PJ West, they had to patch a lot of areas around that really deep bunker on 16. It looked pretty bad. I don't expect this golf course to look very good on television this week either. We'll see. Greens average about 6,800 square feet in area, which is a little bigger than PGA Tour average. That's going to come into play for a couple of reasons as we get down the line. So here's a summary of all the holes at TPC Craig Ranch. So four par threes. Yeah, hole number four plays 219 this year. Yeah, hole number seven plays 232. Hole number 15 plays 216. Hole number 17 plays 147. Interesting thing about hole number 17, I think in order to create some juice to this event, they're actually going to turn the 17th into like a stadium hole, kind of like at the 16th TPC Scottsdale. Obviously, you got the links with Weisskopf and Scottsdale. I think you're going to try this here. They tried it at a couple other venues. They tried it at Honda Classic. They tried it at the Rocket Mortgage. You know, it's kind of successful with Honda. It's not really successful at the Honda or at the Rocket Mortgage. I don't know. Anytime they try and do something like this, like the reason why the 16th is so great is because a lot of that is just organic. It's not forced. And when you're kind of forcing a party atmosphere like this, it just doesn't feel all that great. So, but anyways, the main points about these par threes is that three of them are pretty long. You know, they all play over 200 yards. Now, you know, a couple of them might be a little bit wind aided, so it doesn't really truly play like 200. But if there is an area that I guess would be difficult about TPC Craig Ranch, it is these par threes. So they play to a historical scoring average of about a little over three. So they are technically over par, but of all tournaments with at least five events since 2015, the par threes at TPC Craig Ranch are still the sixth easiest on the PGA Tour. So, you know, look, like with pretty big landing zones, only the 15th has water on it. There's not a ton of adversity for any of these players. So, but they are going to be tested. It's probably going to be in these par threes. All right, let's talk about the par fours. So this year, there's two drivable par fours. It's the sixth, which I mentioned at the top of the show. I think there's another one on the back nine. There's only, I think, one or two that play between 375 and 425. And then 22% of the par four, of the par fours, which I think is four or five. It's no, I take that back. It's 3 of 11. Those are 425 to 475, and then 3 of 11 are 475 plus. So there are the par fours kind of are on a little bit of the longer side. You're gonna have three of them at least that play over 475. You know, another three that play between 425, 475. So this can be a little bit of a test of your mid to long irons with the par fours, but even without that, these are still some of the easiest par fours, excuse me, on the PGA Tour. In fact, they are the easiest of any golf courses with at least five events since 2015. You look at the scoring averages of this place, that probably is no surprise. So, again, everything is just right out in front of you. You hit driver, not a whole lot of penalty areas. Basically, just avoid the fairway bunkers. You can hit onto the green. They usually can be pretty soft because with the Texas heat, you got to water the bent grass a lot or else it's going to die. They're flat. They're slow. You know, I mean, it can become kind of target practice out there. So the par fours, not all difficult. And then the par fives, like I mentioned, the, you know, number 12 is going to be converted into a longer par four this year. Otherwise, hole number five is 593, but that's still pretty reachable. I think with the prevailing winds, it helps these guys get there in two. Hole number nine is 564. The creek technically bisects the hole, but it's like 40 yards short of the hole. It really takes like a gross miss by a PG Tour professional to actually land in there. It's just there for just aesthetics. Otherwise, it's drivable, or it's you can get there in two. And same thing with hole number 18, closing hole 552, get there in two. It's an opportunity for maybe a birdie for the, you know, eventual winner to get over the hump, get that. So again, like the par fours, everything's right out in front of you. Hit driver, not a lot of adversity, and that's why since 2015, of all events with at least five events, it's the third easiest on the PGA Tour. Again, look at the scoring averages. You wouldn't be all that surprised. Only Wailea and Sedgefield Country Club actually consistently play easier than TPC Craig Ranch. So again, lots of easy holes, lots of opportunities to get a lot of birdies in this place, especially in the par fours and par fives. Let's move to off the tee. And as I'm going to hammer in your head tonight, this is a very easy golf course. There's not a whole lot of adversity. It starts right with off the tee. It ranks as the fourth easiest in PGA Tour for difficulty off the tee. Again, like I've mentioned a couple times, there's not a whole lot of difficulty off the tee when you're looking out there. Fairly wide fairways. It's some of the widest fairways actually in the PGA Tour. Basically, the only thing you got to avoid is a fairway bunker. Otherwise, you can just whale away with driver, get it out there. In fact, it actually has, I think they average, of all drives, average about 294 off the tee. And of all events with at least five tournaments since 2015, it's actually the fourth longest range in the PGA Tour. So again, not many opportunities for a guy to show up there and be like, okay, maybe I got a club down and I got to take this hazard into consideration. No, you get up there, long and straight, hit out there, you're fine. Let's talk about approach shots. So I broke it down based on proximity buckets. So under 100 yards, there's about 1.5 shots per round to TPC Craig Ranch. That's probably on your drivable par fours. Either you lay up or you get to the green. So about 1.5 times you're hitting from 100, less than 100 yards. 100 to 125, about 1.25 shots. Depends on the hole or depends on the player. 125 to 150, hitting about 3 shots around. 150 to 175, about 3 shots around. 175 to 200, 3 shots around. 200 to 225, about 3 shots around. And 225 plus 3.5 shots around. So here's what I want to break it down. There's ways you can actually separate the types of holes from this proximity chart here. So I just mentioned that, you know, a lot of these par fives are reachable. You're not like laying up in two, hitting a wedge shot in. So automatically you can take a lot of the stuff, especially from over 225, get that out of your proximity data. Cause the only thing you really need is par five scoring. That's really important this week. You got to make sure you guys get birdies on these par fives. So don't double count it by looking at anything over 225 for your proximity. Just look at par five scoring, especially because there's not any adversity around any of these par fives. Like you get a guy who doesn't hit as long or is all that great, but as long as he gets up and down, a birdie is a birdie. So I don't really care if you, from 225, you take a guy who hits it at 20 feet or a guy that hits it at 50. If the guy from 50 gets up and down for birdie and the guy from 20 feet misses the putt, which he probably will anyways, same score. So get that out of your models. Anything over 225, it's not going to matter this week. And then just focus on anything. You can focus on just over 200. And that'll just, and specifically, if you can actually look at just performance on par threes over 200 yards, it'd be great. Otherwise, if you just look at over 200, your proximity, that's going to cover your par threes for the most part. So separate that. And then if you take anything from 125 to 200, those are all your par fours. So now you have three different segments of data, which you can actually weight evenly, that covers all your par threes for the most part, covers all your par fours with the 125 to 200 yard proximity stats, and you cover your par five scoring. That's all you need. It kind of just breaks it down pretty simple like that. And that's what I'm going to be using for my dashboard, is just kind of looking at each parts individually and going from there. But otherwise, though, you know, these are really easy approach shots. It features the second easiest approach shots in the PGA Tour. Greens are fairly big. There's not a lot of undulations to them. I mean, it's a reason why these guys score pretty well at these places. Around the green, again, not a whole lot of adversity around the green. Of all golf courses with at least five tournaments since 2015, TPC Craig Ranch features the easy conditions around the green on the PGA Tour. Look, I mean, if you're scrambling from off the fairway, you base a tree like a long putt. You can putt from off there. Excuse me. The greens are rather flat, so even if you find yourself in a bunker or in the rough, the greens run pretty slow too. You can get up and down pretty easily for a PGA Tour professional around these places. So it also features the fifth least penal rough and sixth least penal bunkers around the green. Again, the combination of flat greens, slow greens, getting up and down is not very difficult at TPC Craig Ranch. And then putting. Again, I was trying to find a place where this thing is actually difficult, and it's not. Of all golf courses with at least five tournaments since 2015, TPC Craig Ranch has the fourth easiest greens to putt on. Again, the combination is slow, flat, bentgrass greens. These greens are going to run really good. It features the seventh easiest for putts under 5 feet, sixth easiest from 5 to 15 feet, second easiest from over 15 feet. And then just to further reinforce this, so last year the PGA Tour averaged for three putt percentage, about 3% of all holes. It's only about 2.5% for Byron Nelson or TPC Craig Ranch. So that's not all that helpful, what I just went through for the last 15 minutes or so. Literally everything's easy. So how are we actually going to pick this week? Well, we got to, I guess, kind of look at what type of players have actually done well here. And then we got to look at actually what's mattered in the tournament. And there's a couple things. And I put this in my article. That'll be up a little later. I unfortunately forgot to tell my editor it was ready. Oops, my bad. But it'll be up. You can go look at the charts. You can look at the relative skill set chart. You can look at the chart that drives variance in scoring, basically what attribute contributes to the total variance in strokes gained. And there's a couple patterns you do see with this. First of all, it seems like off the tee just doesn't matter, at least in the profile player or in tournaments. So there's a very low correlation of guys who either have a successor who are longer hitters or short hitters. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. And you see that in some of the leaderboards when you look it up. And same thing with driving accuracy. Guys were accurate. Guys are not accurate. They all found success here. There's not a lot of correlation between the two. And then in tournament, the variance in total strokes gained is less impacted by off the tee performance at TPC Craig Ranch than it is in the average PGA Tour events. So again, off the tee is not really going to matter a lot. And that makes sense considering it's really wide fairways. You hit driver a lot. There's not a lot of adversity around each hole. It's not very tough driving holes. Off the tee is not really going to matter all that much to me this week. There is a slight correlation to better iron players who do well at this event than guys who don't. I would attribute that to the fact that, you know, look, you got to put yourself, this is a birdie fest. You have to be able to hit your irons to get yourself in a pretty favorable spot to make a lot of birdies. So better iron players can usually hit it a little closer to the hole, take advantage of scoring opportunities. So that's why there's a little bit better emphasis, you know, as far as a profile player you want to look at, usually better iron players do a little better. However, in term performance though, hasn't really mattered a whole lot. It actually contributes a lot. Your iron performance at TPC Craig Ranch contributes a lot less to the total variance and strokes gained at the tournament than the average PGA Tour stop. I actually buy a pretty fair margin here. So I would attribute that to the fact that these are pretty easy approach shots, not a whole lot of difficulty. It's hard to separate yourself from the group, you know, let's say, because there's probably more guys are going to be able to hit it within 20 feet here because it's not all that difficult. So it's harder to gain strokes on the field with your approach shots at Craig Ranch. However, tend to shade a little better towards your better iron players, especially from some of the proximity ranges I looked at, you know, 125, 200 for your par threes, over 200, or 125, 200 for your par fours, over 200 for your par threes. Look at that a little bit. Around the green, there is a little bit of a higher correlation to guys who tend to be a little better around the green to those who have success here, at least pre-tournament, as far as the profile player you look at. As far as how it actually impacts the tournament, about average with the PGA Tour. It, basically You know, Datagolf estimates that total strokes gained on the average PGA venue, the variance is, you know, around the green performance basically contributes about 14.5% to the total variance. It's about 14.4 last year towards the total, you know, strokes gained. So it's not a large part. It's not all that important, but basically just weight around the green as you would any other tournament, it seems like. But putting, though, putting seems like that's the big differential at this place. Not only does it have this slightly favored better putters at this event, but putting has had a higher weight towards the total variance in total strokes gained at this event. So basically, in layman's terms, this is a putting contest. Guys who hit more putts tend to separate themselves a little easier on the leaderboard than guys who don't. That's not rocket science when the winning score is 26 under. And you got to hit a lot of birdies. You got to hit a lot of 12-footers, 15-footers, all that stuff. So that's basically my strategy this week. I don't love these putting contests. I don't love betting on these contests. I don't love the fact that I'm on a two-week losing streak and trying to break it at TPC Craig Ranch. That's not ideal. But it is what it is. We're going to try to do our best. I'll try and give you good picks this week. But yeah, that's basically what I'm looking for this week. Just kind of looking at, you know, because I don't feel like there really is a one-size-fits-all for this place. Just kind of look at a profile player. Are there a lot of ways for you to make birdie at this place? Or is there anything that's going to really sabotage that at this tournament? Can he hit some putts? That's really about it. So that's it. Tomorrow we will be back with Boston Capper going over DFS pricing, trying to find some value under $8,000 with some complete bums. I hope you liked enjoying my preview tonight. Check us out tomorrow. And with that, have a good night. And we'll see you tomorrow night for the DFS show for the AT&T Byron Nelson.